freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says? No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive every episode at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Ah, we stink, man.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
No way!
Well, here we go with the Brock and Salk podcast. Holiday season. Seahawks winning. Not just winning. Well, that's got a thumping. That's a thumping.
It's a smackdown.
That was cake on their head walking around.
Kind of was.
It's a true cakewalk.
It's a true cakewalk.
You were not terrified of the Jets.
When was the last time Pete Carroll, like a clown, had cake on his head and was clapping on the sidelines like that? I mean, when was the last time?
58 to nothing in 2012. That was the last time.
That was the Cardinals game?
43-8 in the Super Bowl, maybe?
Yeah. There were a couple. I mean, they've blown the Giants out a couple times over the year. I remember picking off Eli Manning like six times or something in one game. I mean, like, they've had a few, but it doesn't happen very often. It takes a perfect storm. Right? It takes the absolute perfect storm. And they didn't even get the perfect storm here. Like, they dropped two interceptions and a deep ball down the sideline. I mean, like, that game could have gone significantly worse. Can you imagine if all those three plays had been made and Russell plays the whole game? You drop 60 on him, right?
Yep.
Easy.
Yep.
You could easily have dropped 60 points on the Jets, and regardless of whether or not the guy hits his three field goals that he missed, you could have still won 60-12? Which is better, 40-3 or 60-12?
60-12 is better. That would have been super fun to watch. Really, really fun. Oh, man.
So you'd trade the three missed field goals and the three points.
Well, then you would have had a Jamal Adams pick against the Jets, which would have been something.
And it might have
been
a pick six.
You may have had a Puna Ford pick, even, which would have been thrilling.
Yes.
Ugo Amadi, of
stumbling,
course.
Bumbling.
Yeah. Yeah,
Russell
would have
had seven touchdowns, got himself back in the MVP.
No, let's not get carried away over there. Come on now. There's no reason to be rude here. So it's a weird game, right? It's a butt kicking against just a feeble opponent. So what do you do? What do you do to talk about that? What do you do to learn something from it? I tried to go the education route. I'm not sure that anyone in my family is learning at the moment.
Pomona.
Right?
What do you call it? Teachable moment?
Nobody's learning in your house?
Well, not as much as they should be. I mean, like...
That is true. I was on a call with Salk the other day. Yeah. Cecily came down. She said, why aren't you in class? Well, I made my bed instead.
Right.
Avery and I did some tackling drills.
Yes.
Tackling drills?
Yeah. Which she clarified on the way out was really tickling more than tackling.
Oh, that's true. It's like, hey, it's PE.
Does she get her head out of the way in rugby-style tackle? Is that what you're teaching?
It's hawk tackle.
Better believe it.
For Cess.
Yeah. She's like Cam Chancellor, but very small. There's not like a ton of learning going on.
It's just killing the Pomona guy. There's just no education going on in the house.
I wouldn't mind a little
Pomona
more.
Pomona mom?
Yeah. Might
tough.
Be killing the Pomona mom more than the Pomona dad, I would say. Anyway, so some things that maybe we learned, Brock, from watching the Seahawks annihilate the Jets on Sunday, okay?
All right.
They can, and as we just sort of talked about this, but they can blow a team out without even really going for the jugular. I wouldn't say they attempted to blow out the Jets. They didn't do anything special to blow them out. They didn't take a ton of shots or throw the ball over the yard or play extra aggressive. I mean, they were a little aggressive, but they were a lot more balanced than they were the week before. They dropped at least two picks, an easy deep ball, and they still won by 37 points in only three quarters. That is dominance in every single aspect of the word.
Yes. Yeah. And it was a come from behind win.
Stop.
Pete
was so excited about that. A come from behind win.
I mean, they gave up the opening drive right down the field, and thankfully the drop inside the 10-yard line, or who knows, could have been 7-0, and they'd have come back even more.
I know. They could have won 40-7 instead of 40-3. Yeah. That's a bad team. But the Seahawks, it shows you how explosive the Seahawks offense still can be.
Yes.
When everything's kind of hitting on all sides, I don't care who you're playing. Those are still NFL players. I know they're not very good ones, but those are NFL players, and they got some guys up front.
It's almost beat the Raiders the week before.
Yeah, like they are an NFL team. They're just a bad one. So that offense does have an explosiveness that we have not always seen here in Seattle.
No question, and it's got in DK Metcalf and then Tyler Lockett and Chris Carson. And Jake Heaps tweeted this out earlier in the week. Chris Carson's averaging over 5 yards a carry this season. And I know it's been in and out and kind of choppy and everything else.
Was he
but
25 carries or so now?
He's one of the best backs in the league. DK Metcalf is one of the best receivers in the league. And Tyler Lockett's one of the best slot receivers in the league. And Russell's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. When you have one of the best at all of those different positions, you should be explosive. You should never have a game like you did the week before in that stadium against the other New York team. That should never, ever, ever happen. And down the stretch here, as Mike Heward would always love to say, against the Washington football team, against the Rammers, who are going to be coming in, more than likely going to be playing for everything in that game and then to close it out in the division, your best players have to be at their very best. That's in big games, your best players, in the biggest moments, have to rise to the occasion. In the 180 minutes of football that's left between Washington and L.A. and San Francisco, those best players, not just best on your team, but some of the very best in all the league at their position, they got to shine in prime time when it matters here down the stretch.
Well, you bring up Chris Carson. He was sort of the second thing I found myself learning. And here's where I'm at with Chris Carson.
Tell me where you're at.
The Seahawks are saving him. They are saving Chris Carson to unleash hell when they need him.
Oh.
That's the best I can come up with.
Chris Carson is averaging how many rushing attempts a game on the season? Do you know?
He's 11.
9.9. Nine games, 99 attempts rushing.
Okay.
Not a lot.
Wait, hold on.
Is that 11? No, that's 10.
Howdy.
Howdy.
What?
That's 11.
That's 11.
All right, 11.
What is wrong with you?
Still not a lot.
Dude.
Okay, but like he asked how many yards he was averaging. I said 11. Then Howdy said no, and proceeded to correct me to a number that was incorrect.
11.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
that's
Mike.
That's what I meant to say.
There's not a lot of learning going on, Mike. Okay?
Yes, Howdy, what's going on with the remote learning in your house?
There's no remote learning going on in my
house. I'm looking at the stats. I see 99 and 9. Like, come on, man.
There's absolutely no learning going on in my house. I'll tell you that much.
But why the correcting?
I just want to agree with Brock. It's, you know, it's like, as Brock said, it's 11. Mike, you were wrong.
It's not about that. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about Howdy's need to correct somebody, regardless of the truth of the situation.
It looked right to me when I looked at the numbers, but
you thought
Howdy,
it was 9.
What is 9 times 9?
I started doing some mental gymnastics, doing division and then multiplication, adding to round up, and
I mean, of all the numbers,
a remainder of 3, yeah.
Of all the numbers to multiply or divide by, 11 is like the easiest one, though, right?
James,
yes.
I mean, it's right there with 10.
Nope. James,
you're absolutely
what is
right.
9 times 9?
81.
Good.
Okay.
As you look 81. At the stat right in front of you, 9 for 99.
Yeah.
Just do the quick dividing. 9 goes into 9.
Yeah,
how many times?
I went to rounding up, and it was a disaster.
Right. You carried the 1.
I went, I was like, oh, so, you know, 100 to 10, so 9 to 99.
Regardless.
Anyways.
They're obviously saving Chris Carson. It's the only reason to not be giving him the ball more often. I mean, even just watching him in the game, he had a great game against the Jets and looked like he was about to break 3 or 4 more runs that could have been another 10, 20, 30 yards apiece. I mean, so you kind of watch Carson. You're like, okay, there's a clear difference between when he has the ball and when any of the other running backs on this team have the ball. So my only assumption is they're just trying to keep him as healthy as possible, knowing that they're going to need him for the final few games of the season and into the postseason. And so they want him to be as fresh as possible. They don't want him to have more than like 125 carries at that point. Because why else wouldn't you be giving him the ball more often?
Because you just don't trust he can stay healthy.
Right, so
I mean,
it's
the same, you know, whether you want to look at it as you're saying there and kind of the Machiavellian, we're going to protect him to the very end, we're going to be smart about this, or it is, yeah, dude, this car can't go. Like, I step on the gas and a socket's going to blow at any time, so I'm not going to step on the gas until, I guess, break glass and we have to in an emergency. And is it emergency times?
Well, it wasn't against the Jets.
Of course not. No,
it's not quite emergency.
But a car in that shape's unlikely to go 5 yards a carry. I mean, that's like going 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. I mean, he's still got something there if he's averaging 5 yards a carry.
I'll tell you what else is fascinating, just from and I don't put this tin hat on very much, and I don't have hot takes and strong opinions, but I will say, this is a contract year for Chris Carson.
Yep.
Like, if I'm Chris Carson, part of me is like, hey, you know, like, give me the ball. Like, I need my yards. I'm going to be a free agent. There's other good free agent running backs. There's another good running back class with some difference makers. I watched basically everybody in my class other than Aaron Jones and Green Bay. Who's going to get his? I've watched everyone else in my draft class, albeit I was in the seventh round, but they all got McCaffrey and Kamara. They all got paid. Even Mixon in Cincinnati, he got paid. Like, you know, it's a contract year, and he's got 99 carries in a contract year.
You can rip him for getting hurt, but after, so his rookie year, he played in four games. Then he played in 14 and 15 games the next 2 years. This year, he's at 9 and counting. He'll probably get to 12. I mean, it's not like he's playing four games a year. He's still playing at, 14 and 15 and 12.
Yep.
He's been hurt every year.
Correct.
But he's also played most of the season in all those years. It's only been one season ender at the beginning of the year. So, I don't know. Right. I mean,
been hurt every year since high school.
Right. That's a sign.
Yeah.
There's something to that. Did he always wear such heavy chains? Did you hear them clinking as he was coming off the field that one time? It was bizarre. I've never noticed that. And I'm not like ripping him for wearing chains. It's fine. Wear them. I don't care. Whatever makes him run the way he did is fine with me. He looked like a beast. But he was coming off the field after a run, and like they must have had a really close microphone because I really noticed the chains.
Parabola mic?
Maybe. And you could hear them like each time he like kind of ran, like each step landed, you could hear the like clink, 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 clink. Like, man, does that happen all the time when he's running? It seemed like it would have to be heavy enough to make that sound.
Empty stadiums, man.
That's right?
Another thing.
Yes.
Another thing we get out of empty
stadiums. That was kind of a surprise. Anyway, there's a clear difference. You're going to see Penny probably come back maybe this week.
Ooh.
I assume he's getting the ball instead of Carlos Hyde.
Mm-hmm. Instead of DJ Dallas?
Yes.
Stop.
Instead of Travis Homer? Probably.
Yeah. He's definitely getting the ball ahead of those two guys. You don't think he's getting the ball ahead of Carlos Hyde?
No.
I think he is.
Especially no just his style. I think they love Carlos Hyde's style. He's so much like Carson. He's going to go out there, put his head down, and run straight into a brick wall.
Yeah, but he doesn't gain any yards when he does it. I mean,
well, it's better than Rashad Penny running backwards.
Stop.
Whoa.
Did you stop?
Forward four, back six.
Kyle's hatred for Rashad Penny is ridiculous.
Is it?
He's going to come back, and I think they're going to play him a bunch over the next few weeks because they want to find out whether or not they have their next back after Chris Carson in case they don't want to pay him. So I think you're going to see Penny because it's not going to be Carlos Hyde. He's a one and done here. I think you're going to end up seeing quite a bit of Rashad Penny over the last few games of this year because they want to keep Carson healthy, and B, they want to find out whether or not Penny's got anything.
And C, that's kind of their mode, right? Like when a guy just comes back, they just give him a huge.
I know. There is that. I didn't say it's all going to be this week. But don't you think they'll give him some run ahead of Carlos Hyde?
No.
Really?
No, I think it'll probably be Hyde. I'm with the other two Jackals there. I think it will probably be Hyde. And then if there's, you know, and Hyde's been beat up this year, and Hyde's been beat up in his career. So, yeah, if there's an opportunity to sprinkle in a series for him, you know, maybe this week, does he get a series to see? Yes, but I think it will probably be. I think you want to go at this time with the guy that's been, you know, hit all year and ball control and against these opponents and everything else where that ball control is so, so critical. Where do you think Hyde is on this team? Carson's a leading rusher, as we know, averaging 11 carries a game.
All right.
Second leading rusher on the team is?
Russell,
yep, 423 yards. Third leading rusher, is it DJ or Carlos?
DJ?
It's a good question. Travis Homer?
No, it is Carlos.
Oh, it's Carlos.
He's got more than double, almost triple DJ's carries. I threw you there for a loop. He is averaging 3.8 yards a carry because he does have to kind of carry those at the end it against 12-man boxes.
Carlos Hyde this year is averaging how many yards per carry?
3.8.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
3.8.
Yep.
How many yards per carry has Rashad Penny averaged in his career?
Oh, good question. Do you have it up right now?
I do.
Probably like 4.1.
Higher.
Five.
Higher.
5.8.
Get out of here.
5.3. Yards per attempt, right?
Yep.
In 2018, his yards per attempt was 4.9. I'm reading pro.
Are they counting yards
I'm looking at pro football
total
reference.
Yards run.
In 2019, he averaged 5.7 yards a carry. What am I missing? Am I reading this wrong? I'm just looking at rushing. Yards Y/A, right, would be yards per attempt.
We've had trouble with this. So
I just want to make sure that I got this right.
We got time to do radio math here. It is a podcast.
That's 5.3 as an average. So, I mean, take all the shots you want at Rashad Penny, and I know that you will. 5.3 yards per carry is pretty good. Carlos Hyde's 3.8 is subpar.
How many carries in Rashad's career? Does he have 100?
I mean, not a ton.
Does he have 100?
He's got 150.
Oh, okay. Right.
He's got 150 carries for 789 yards.
What he has is he does have some big playability when healthy. And that was a bummer when they lost him at the end of the year, as he was just getting his legs and I think total confidence that he could do this thing in this league. Underneath him, bam, there goes the ACL. So no, if he is raring to go, and it's been a year, been over a year now. I mean, he's kind of had ample time to get right. They don't put people on the field until they're right. The last thing they want to do is what happens when guys come back on the field in situations like this. Bam, there goes a soft tissue injury. There goes a hamstring. There's a groin. There's a calf. There's something because, you know, that knee and imbalance and everything. So they're going to be hyper vigilant and careful. So therefore, I don't think he's going to get a ton of run, but does he get a series? Sure. Do you find a screen pass for him? Yeah.
All right. I'm not saying, by the way, that he does it all in this game against Washington, but you got three games left.
Yes, you do.
My guess is you're going to see his carries, assuming he doesn't get hurt, increase over the course of those three games until eventually he's the number two running back on this team, which is what they wanted it to be before the year began, and they want to find out what's going on for next year, and they have to. They got to find out whether or not they have something in Rashad Penny, so I would assume that you'll see quite a bit of him steadily over the course of the next few weeks. All right, third thing that I know I learned in this game, and maybe folks are going to be with me on this, maybe not, I don't know. Ken Norton Jr. deserves some credit. I don't care that you were playing Sam Darnold in his teeny hands. Ken Norton deserves some credit.
He has small hands.
They're teeny. That guy's awful. I can't believe anyone was ever convinced that he was going to be a good NFL quarterback.
His shoulder's not right this
year. Dude, he's bad. He's been bad for 3 years, Brock. Don't tell me about his shoulder. That guy stinks. He's bad. He's a bad quarterback, has always been a bad quarterback. He fumbles constantly, puts the ball in harm's way. He's not my kind of quarterback. Okay. No, thank you. I'll say no thanks to Sam Darnold. But he's tough and rugged and comes from a plumbing background, so he's cool.
That's right.
Him and Carson.
He's a blue-collar guy.
They're blue-collar guys.
He did win a Rose Bowl. He did elevate to USC.
A Rose Bowl? That doesn't never mean anything. Who cares?
Rose Bowl?
Right. Congratulations. USC made it to the Rose Bowl. Who'd they beat to get there? Arizona?
No, they beat Washington at Washington, gave them their first
time
loss.
Anything either.
Okay.
Come on. I mean, I'm talking about beating real teams.
Oh, gotcha.
Come on.
Corsi.
I think it was Penn State.
Left Ken Norton. With a loss.
Penn State? That's like the fifth best team in that conference. Ken Norton Jr. deserves a credit, whether you want to make fun of Sam Darnold or not, and I choose to. But his defense got to the brink of disaster. People were calling for this guy's job.
They were the worst in the history of the league, 10
fair.
Games in.
People were right in calling for his job and having that conversation. But if you're going to do that, you've also got to see that he brought his team back from the brink of disaster. They've played pretty good football since then, since the accountability meeting. And if we were going to rip him a month ago, don't we have to give him some credit now for getting his team back to normalcy?
Yes,
I think you do. I give him a lot of it.
You do. And you have to give him credit for folding in all the different pieces, which is not easy to do. And you folded in Jamal Adams into this scheme in a way that you've never really seen a safety utilized before. You folded in Carlos Dunlap with ease a month ago when he came in here. Make sure you put him in a position to have some success. You folded in DJ Reed into first the nickelback spot, and now you're starting cornerback spot, and that guy's playing hard and pulling the trigger and doing some good things. You folded in a rookie that you've continued to grow over the course of the year in Jordan Brooks that you feel better about, that's playing good ball, that's played, as Pete has said, the last couple games, his very best football. So a bunch of moving pieces in a year where you have no meetings.
Well, yeah, and Brock's.
Where you are complicated. If it is challenging in the Salk wind home to find a chance to, you know, to educate and to teach and to read and not tickle and tackle, it's the same thing there. I mean, they're not getting the time on Mondays and Tuesdays. Sorry, not in the building. Can't come in here. Embargoed, right?
I mean, are you suggesting the Seahawks are going through tickle drills?
They are. And you know who they flew in, by the way? They consulted Mike Sweeney. They flew in
Sweeney. The famed Ichiro and
Clubhouse
and
tape.
Yes.
Oh, Teaching George!
Tape with Ichi.
Ichiro would always yell, George! He'd never call Ken Griffey Jr. Ken. He'd always call him George. Yeah. Oh, George!
Oh, man. Well, you got to give Ken some credit.
You do.
I think. And also, you got to say, there have been guys who've gotten better over the course of the year. Andy's lost a couple of the guys they were really planning on. They were planning on having Bruce Irvin. They were planning on having Marquise Blair, both in starting or primary roles. Both guys got hurt right off the bat, never really saw him. Jamal Adams missed 4 games. He's supposed to be the key piece of what they brought in. And Dunbar's never really been healthy. right? I mean, he had like a game or so in there, but they've never really had what they wanted in the secondary throughout the entirety of the year. By the way, I keep wanting to call him Vaughn Dunbar. Do you remember that guy, that running back
from Indiana?
Yeah, Vaughn Dunbar. Yes. I looked that guy up just because I was curious. I was like, Vaughn Dunbar. That's why I always want to call Quentin. Who was Vaughn Dunbar? So yeah, running back who was a first round pick of the Saints.
Yep.
In 4 years, had like 750 yards total. Did not work out. Mm. Was a draft pick in the XFL where he had 22 carries for 25 yards before getting cut. And now it says he works for, like, you just don't read the rest of the Wikipedia page.
How do you know all this?
I was just reading the Wikipedia page. It's like,
a rabbit hole.
He's divorced and works in a rug factory. Plus, I was like, oh, geez, things went south. Anyway, Puna Ford's gotten better this year.
Yep.
You just mentioned Jordan Brooks. He's gotten better this year. Guys like Ryan Neal got better. DJ Reed got better over the course of the year. I think you can start pointing at this team and saying
Diggs has been getting, for all your call outs,
he's been much better.
Four picks. I think he's fourth in the league right now.
He's come back. I mean, like, guys have gotten better over the course of this season, haven't they? Isn't that what you want from your coach? Isn't that what Pete Carroll always says? It's a developmental program and they're going to find ways to get better. Well, they have.
It's just so weird. They went through that U-shaped curve, right? Where they started like, we'll see what happens. And then it just got worse and worse and worse. For 8 weeks, and then all of a sudden started to slowly and then rapidly turn. It's strange. It's a really, really strange trajectory.
But give him credit for whatever it is he did. If we were going to rip him as much as we did a few weeks ago, you got to give him some credit. Now, their defense looks fine. It doesn't look dominant. I don't think anybody expects that it's going to. And we'll see what happens when they play the Rams again, because that's going to be kind of the test for them. But they look better. They're beating NFL teams, and they're, you know, they haven't given up many points the last few weeks. I mean, 17 points to the Giants, seven of which basically came on one play, and they came up with the big stop when they needed to at the end of that game to give Russell a chance, which he didn't convert on. So I don't know. I'm willing to give Ken Norton Jr. quite a bit of credit right now.
I think you got to give him. You definitely got to give him credit. And you know, if you're going to be critical when it is bad and historically the worst in the history of the league, then you got to give him credit when he turns around, and regardless of who you're playing. By the way, speaking of Jamal Adams, I just did some quick math here.
Oh, good. Howdy. Check it for me.
Ready.
Here we go.
Had he not missed those four games? He's played nine games. Had he not missed those four, and he's sitting there at 13 games played. And he was and stays on the same sack streak that he's been on in those nine games. Same production.
Almost 12?
Yep. You know where he is in the league?
With 12 sacks? He'd be like leading the league.
Second or something? Yeah.
Aaron Donald's 12 and a half. TJ Watt's 12. He'd actually be about 11 or 11 and a half because he's a little less than a sack a game. He's 8.5 sacks in nine games. So he would be third. He would
bizarre.
Be third in the league.
Yeah.
Behind T.J. Watt and Aaron Donald.
Where would the Seahawks be if Geno was their quarterback for, like, all of those games?
Geno Smith?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, they wouldn't have won a game until...
this past week? Would they have beaten the Jets? What is going on with Geno? He didn't look fit for duty, Brock.
What is going on with Geno?
Well, what's
what's going on hold with on, this hold guy? On.
Where are we at? Where are we with our things we've learned? Is this our fourth thing we've learned?
Yeah.
Is this number four?
Yeah, I guess it's not something I learned. Geno's not fit for duty.
Okay, so you kept this as a number four.
Yeah, I look around the league.
What is going on with Geno Smith?
I didn't want to leave the show with
last
this or
anything. Last we saw him, he was a world beater. And now he's just, all he does is hand the ball off.
Hold on. You watch games across, I was watching games just over the last couple. We saw Colt McCoy, backup, look fine last week.
I mean, if you want to go through the list of backup QBs against the Seahawks.
Right, they look fine.
Brett Hundley, I was watching Chase
Daniels this week come in. He looked fine. Geno looked lost. He couldn't get a snap. He couldn't get the plays together. He couldn't throw. Why is that your backup quarterback?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, he was too fired up, Mike. He really wanted to shove it against the Jets. That's really
like
what he wanted. He was too amped up, and he just got away from him.
It's not fair to assume any intent, because I don't know why Geno didn't look good and why the first play was as discombobulated as it was. It looked like he had been paying no attention to the game whatsoever, and then was like, oh, you're in? Whoa, hey, all right, what's the play?
All right, well,
like, you ever have those dreams that you're in, like, back in high school or something, and they're like, all right, you're in the game. You're like, but I don't have any shoes.
I'm not ready.
That's yes. what I left my cleats back there. Could somebody get the cleats? Like, I have these dreams all the time.
Oh, man. I have these dreams that I didn't actually graduate high school, but I'm way along. And so I figure out that, like, I got to go back to high school today and finish my degree.
Pass the SAT.
You will be surprised that mine also includes, like, I haven't gone to this class once all year.
Yeah. And now it's time for the final.
I haven't done any of the reading. I never do. Right. But of course, but I often have the one where you're like, all right, I'm ready to play. Like, I'm up. Like, I'm pinch hitting. But where's my bat?
Oh, no.
That's what Gino kind of looked like. Of like, wait, but what are the plays? I need the wristband. Like, what?
Okay, two
Brock,
things.
This is your area of expertise.
He backs up Russell Wilson. He's not allowed to play. Russell does not give him reps.
Brock, you backed up Peyton Manning. If you had been called on in a 37-3 game to come in.
I was twice.
Would you have looked like that?
Nailed it. Nope, nailed it twice. Threw a little bubble screen, and I think I was 2 for 2. In those two games I played in 2 years. Two things. I'm going to take this two ways. Number one, the guru could have gone in there and done better. There's no question in my mind.
Jake Heaps?
Yes. Yep.
I don't know if Jake is.
I mean, Jake got beat out by Geno Smith.
And Paxton Lynch.
Specifically.
Yeah.
The guru could have gone in there and done better. Number two, and I hope he didn't tear his ACL last night. Y'all see who came in the game?
I knew you'd be excited.
Your boy Trace.
Did you see when he had the runs and he was squeezing the cheeks in and out of the locker room? Did you see who came in the game?
Yeah, we saw Trace McSorley.
Thank you.
I mean,
why have they not
drafted?
Why have they not drafted a young guy? It is so counter to the Ron Wolf school that Mr. Schneider sat under for years.
Isn't it weird?
In tutelage. It's just so weird. They have never done that in 9 years. I don't think that's Russell. I don't think Russell would be threatened if there was a 6th round young guy.
They got Alex Magoo in the 7th round one.
Who's back, by the way?
Yeah, he's kicking around the league all over the place.
He's back in Seattle.
Is he the one in the bubble, or is he the one, like, because one guy is like, one guy's bubble boy.
He's bubble boy.
What's that guy's name? There's some other quarterback on this team whose name I've never heard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's, I know who you're talking
about. It's not Lyndon Stevens, but it's something like that. He's a corner.
Kyle something?
I don't know. I never heard of the guy.
Yeah, there is another quarterback they signed right before the season. He got cut at the end of training camp. Kyle Willetta or something?
It's not that.
I'm just pulling names. Is it Marge?
Look it up, Howdy. Let me know who it is. And he's living in the basement of Schottenheimer's home.
Howdy's going to be like, yeah. And that guy's
Danny Etling.
Danny Etling.
Oh, from LSU.
Howdy's like, that guy threw 9 passes LSU. This year. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, Danny Etling.
Big talk.
Danny Etling and... homeboy from FIU could have come in and done a lot better.
What I saw from Geno Smith was disturbing. So anyway, just a couple of things I guess we could learn, even in playing a bad team like the Jets, and they are bad. Drafting a bad quarterback at the top of the draft, it ruins your franchise for years. It's just a killer.
The Jets ruined Sam Darnold. I'm sorry. I'm not going to stand for this. Just total blasphemy.
It's not true.
Oh,
Sam
really?
Darnold couldn't hang on to the ball in college.
Sam Darnold was a phenomenal college player.
No, I mean, yeah, because no one can hang on to the ball.
His sophomore year, he was considered potentially to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And then had a bad USC roster that had no resolve the next year, and he threw some picks. And yeah, I think I'm with Brock. He's probably pretty good.
Why did the Jets ruin him and not? What happened?
When
he had a bad
year
in college, but the Jets are the ones that ruined him?
Same problem, two different places.
When he goes to New England next year and is resurrected by Bill Belichick, we'll talk. We will talk.
You think Bill Belichick is going to go find a turnover machine like Sam Darnold? No, that's not going to happen. No, he's a fumbler and a picker.
That is a bad team, Michael.
Yeah.
That is a bad organization.
Yeah, I know.
That has broken and ruined a lot of people.
Yeah, when you draft Sam Darnold 3rd overall, that'll set your franchise back for 3 or 4 years, maybe more, and that's exactly what the Jets did. All right, it's December. We're halfway through December or so here, and Famous Dave's, our friends at Famous Dave's, they're giving back, Brock. They are doing buy one, give one. Now, Hattie's familiar, obviously, with buy one, get one. This is buy one, give one. That's in regard to turkeys all the way through Christmas. So you buy one, they will give one to Northwest Harvest. How about that?
That's really cool.
Buy a turkey, give a turkey. People can also take 20% off all orders through the Famous Dave's website. Here's the code, Dave Cares. Dave Cares, all one word, Dave Cares at FamousDaves.com, 20% off. Any order, they got holiday specials. They got a hickory smoked turkey. You can go bigger. You can get a hickory smoked turkey feast. Which sounds better, hickory smoked turkey or hickory smoked turkey feast?
Turkey feast. I like all the other things that come with a turkey typically.
Let me be clear. If you're having turkey and feast, if you're putting those two things in a sentence together, in a phrase together, don't you just imagine someone holding the giant turkey drumstick? Isn't that part of a feast?
Don't you just like imagine a medieval snacks, feast? Harrison at the table yes. with you?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I do. My kids are asking so many. My kids really want snacks to do a Christmas version of his Thanksgiving video where he was sampling food. So anyway, thanks. Or the hickory smoked turkey feast serves 10 to 12 people. It includes a whole turkey, slow smoked over hickory wood for 3 hours, rubbed with a holiday blend of spices, cornbread stuffing, garlic redskin mashed potatoes. I love those red bliss potatoes. Mm-hmm. So good. Buttered corn, turkey gravy, the whole deal. But then, of course, you can still go barbecue. You can go St. Louis style spare ribs, country roast chicken, Texas beef brisket, the Georgia chopped pork, the whole deal. So buy one and give one at Famous Dave's or get 20% off with Dave Cares at FamousDaves.com.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88! Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Huard breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
All right, Blue 88, Brock. I think I got four questions for. I love the podcast. There's no rules on this thing. You can go as many as you want. So Blue
Mike's
88,
bad boy persona just yeah. comes through. It's like, rules aren't for me. Watch this.
I got four.
Whoa.
All right.
You know Smith isn't fit. He isn't fit to be the quarterback.
Question one. Question one is not about Geno Smith. Question one, but it is about Russ. It is about a quarterback. Is Russell still a threat to keep the ball on a read option?
Yes.
Like, is he still affecting yes. defensive ends at this point? He never does.
And he hands it off for 3.5 quarters. And then late in the fourth, yep. the defense is susceptible how many to times, at least one.
How many times has he done that this year?
A handful.
More than
when
what?
He needs to.
Maybe four times.
When he needs to. He saves that.
I don't know.
Is he still a threat? That's yes. the key thing.
Is he still is he a threat to keep it on a read option?
He is still a yes. threat. That defense, yes, he's still a threat. Is it
enough of a threat to make that play worth it, running as often as they do, as opposed to handing the ball off? Mm.
Yeah, I think it is. I think depending on kind of who you have, when your guy Penny comes back, we know, Mike, you've told us for 3 years, he's not a read zone running back.
He's a downhill guy.
I think Carlos Hyde is in between. I think Carson doesn't mind it at all. He's got such amazing acceleration. And, you know, you kind of run that play so people have to have an arm tackle. If you got a running back that gets arm tackled, DJ Dallas, not a good play. A running back that gets arm tackled, Travis Homer, not a good play. A running back like Chris Carson that rips that arm off, it's still a good play. And yes, he's a threat. He's not a game changer. He's not what he once was. He's never going to have a game like he did against, who was that, the Giants back in the day? Who was that home game where he ran for over 100 yards? And it was just, like, they're not even, they have no clue. Well, I think it was the Giants. They have no clue. They can't even defend him. They're not accounting for him at all. So, yeah, he is still a threat. He's still good enough to create and make that guy half a man. He's not crashing down every single time. He still has to be there. And, yes, does he come in and get involved in the tackle? Sure. If that's Chris Carson, no problem.
Yep. Question number two. The guys brought this up. Rich Gannon and Greg Gumbel brought this up during the game. And it is weird. Why do they huddle only 3 yards from the ball?
Right.
Why is that? Can you come up with a reason why that would be the case?
Mike, if they huddled at 7 yards,
there's no chance they get
the
a
amount
playoff.
Of no. They would burn.
Why do they huddle
why
only
is it
3 yards
you
away?
Asking this question? Of all people.
You think they're trying to save the time that it takes to walk 4 yards?
Yes.
2 steps, Mike.
Come on.
It started with Fluker. Did you want Fluker walking 21 feet every single time? No. No, you'll have Fluker walk 9 feet. Mike, you potty? You want him tearing in his fascia, having to jog from the huddle 7 yards away? No.
Is that seriously why they do it? Can you come up with a good reason why you would only
huddle
3 yards
from the ball?
It's
absolutely efficiency of time with all their check with me. It absolutely is. It's absolutely that second that you do gain 3 yards away than 7 yards away. But, you know, it is a little shocking, especially in this season of dead silent stadiums. And theirs is one of the, I think it's about half the stadiums this year have had fans. How mm-hmm. weird, by the way, watching the Cleveland game last night and hearing that crowd.
It was loud.
Loud. super loud. So, you know, of all the seasons, you would think this is the one you want to get away from the line. You don't want anybody hearing. But if I had to answer that, and you asked Pete or Shoddy, because every, you know, they're on all of these details. They know where they're lining up. It is, okay, what is the distance far enough they can't hear us, yet saves us that extra beat so I can do all the check with me that they love to do at the line of scrimmage and hopefully not have the play clock run out.
How many yards away from the ball did you huddle when you were in...
That's a good question. I don't think I ever. I don't really ever remember.
My memory from high school is 10 yards.
Oh no, we weren't that far. It was probably 5 to 7. Okay. I think if you look around, I'll take a little closer gander. I'll shoot you boys a text watching tape today.
My memory in high school is 10 yards, which really begs the question: what were we afraid of? What did we think was going to happen if they heard our signal?
Like, if it was like any good high school huddle, and the center would stand and he would mark the huddle. Yeah, he'd mark the spot, yell huddle,
hands up,
with his hands up,
so that we knew where to go.
Yeah, oh, there he is! Like, oh my God, I was see, I was over here.
Marco,
any good high school huddle.
Right? All right.
What was a play call yours in high school, Mike?
I don't
trying to hide
you know,
from your opponent.
Huh? I don't remember too many of our play calls. I think I only remember, I've told you this before, my sophomore year when this random dude came who had played a little bit in the NFL. He'd been defensive back for the Niners, and he had gone to Stanford, and he came in, and he was going to run a pro-style offense. Bear in mind, the team before had lost every game. So he was like, okay, we're going to turn this thing around. We're going to run a pro-style offense. Our quarterback was a running back who could sort of throw the ball, but not well. He was better than the other kids on the team. And he ran the most... We didn't win a game. We
should've
didn't get close to winning a game. We lost every game by at least 30. Mm. It's the worst team in the worst league that's ever... I mean... When I make fun of a team like the Jets, believe me, I'm capable. I know.
I know what that looks like.
I know what it's like to be on a team that we got. We didn't win 30 points minimum in every single game because of this ridiculous offense. Mm. Now, the next year,
we won a game.
We lost every game again, but they were closer.
Mm.
They were closer.
You
were
in building. Senior year, you won.
5-2, baby. Let's
yes,
go.
Yes, sir.
All right, building. Question number 3.
Hey, by the way, just one quick little cool note. I had Justin Herbert this last weekend with the Chargers. He's cut his hair. He looks... And I was worried about the Samson effect with that because the stats were pretty clear after he cut his hair. He wasn't the same way, but he played great on Sunday, and I was just kind of asking him because they're a big verbiage system with their coordinator, Pep Hamilton, and I was like, can you just give me a little compare and contrast? He's like, well, at Oregon... I like, give me an Oregon play. He's like, oh, dual right rip pull. Like, 4 words. Like, most of them were about 4 words. You know, dual right's the formation, rips the protection, pull, tells everybody what they're doing. Right? And I've told you guys this before, like, this is a good Blue 88, because Bill Walsh was like, no. I don't want to make everybody else learn. You know, I want online learning. I want to make it, you know, hard on one person, and everybody else can just have a blast and react. Mm. So the QB is going to tell everybody what they're doing on every single play, and that's why the verbiage gets longer.
Yes.
It's a play in the Chargers to compare and contrast. And he rattled one off that was even longer than my red, right, tight, close thing, because it was 3 plays. It was 3 plays in one, right? Mm. And he's like, yeah, man, I have spent quite a bit of time just memorizing these things because they can be upwards of 16 to 18 words
right.
versus 4 words.
Didn't that, so we saw remarkable. That happen on Hard Knocks a few years ago, right? Remember the quarterback
yep.
came in, he was trying to learn. Who was that? Was it Austin Davis? I don't know, somebody like that. He came in and he was like trying to learn the entire... You're like, this is impossible overnight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway. Total foreign language.
All right, question
Total
number 3, Brock. We know you mentioned earlier, Jamal Adams, 8.5 sacks on the year. How valuable are 8.5 sacks from a safety? Are they more or less valuable than 8.5 sacks from a defensive end? Or the
yeah,
same?
That's a good question.
Is 8.5 sacks 8.5 sacks?
Yeah, I think it is kind of 8.5, you know, and it just kind of depends. Obviously, his one to break the record was a little bit like Strahan's breaking the record, right, on Brett Favre, who took a dive, like on a scramble.
But Darnold didn't
one
take
yard
a dive.
Behind. What's that?
No, he came up and forced him out of bounds before. I have no issues with that sack. He forced Darnold out of bounds before the line of scrimmage. That is a sack. No issues with that at all. None. That's a sack. He forced the guy out of bounds yeah. before the line of scrimmage.
Right. Right, but it wasn't just him that forced it; the whole crew forced it.
Oh,
and he was.
That's the way sacks work all the time. Jaron Reed gets a sack because everybody forced the guy up into the pocket, and Jaron Reed buries him. Well, he doesn't get a sack for that.
I'm just saying he's had. I'm saying of his career sacks, and even all of his other 7.5 that were much more impactful than the half a yard loss on a scramble that got accounted for him. That's all I'm saying.
Fair.
So, yeah, I think a sack is largely a sack. When does it come? How does it come? From what position does it come? You know, then you kind of dig into, sure, you would love impactful sacks when it matters. And will they pull the trigger and do that with him in the fourth quarter? Absolutely. You know, you'd love a sack that creates a fumble and you know, in a big moment, in a big game. But I wouldn't say, like, yeah, the safety sack is that much more important than the defensive end sack.
No,
or
I'm surprised.
Less important.
I think it's less important, and I'm shocked by you. I'm shocked that this is your answer.
Bro. Oh, nice.
I was 100% sure you were going to say it is not as valuable as a sack from a defensive lineman or defensive end. Because what do you always say is the key to winning defensive football? How do you win?
Four beats five.
So if a safety is getting a sack, four is not beating five. You're bringing a safety. There's a risk factor involved with bringing a safety. I guess true. Sometimes they back guys off. Is that why?
That's right. Drop snacks into coverage.
That's exactly right.
And maybe snacks is better in coverage than Jamal Adams, but still.
Ooh, do you think when he tackles somebody, he lays him on the ground like, ooh, that's corn.
Oh my goodness, you're on the ground now. I love snacks. Listen to that guy talk.
Oh man,
day.
Your tummy feels like Jello. Your tummy feels like Jello.
Can't disclose that information.
I can listen to that guy all day.
No, but I think that's a fair point, Salk. And most of the time, he is a fifth rusher. But you know, there are times that he inserts and they drop others, and so it's a mix and match a little bit. It's not like every time he comes, he's the fifth or sixth guy. But it's also very rare that you have a safety that can
beat
any tight end, any running back, even tackles in this league one-on-one, which he can do.
It's so strange that he's so good at doing someone else's job, but not his job.
He just doesn't have great hands.
He's been better doing his own job recently. But still, yes.
It is just weird that he's, and I'm not saying he's bad at his own job. He's a good safety.
But you just said the same thing relatively about Cam Chancellor, albeit his role is more of a tackling role in the safety.
Nah, I'm not going to say
Cam
that.
Was
it's
much
different.
Better.
Totally
Cam
different. He's better at someone else's role than his own role. That's weird. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Cam was better as
a
linebacker role than he was at a safety.
No, it's not true. That's not true.
No, flat out wrong. True.
He's a great tackler in the box.
Why are you even talking today? You've embarrassed yourself today.
What's
Turn off your microphone.
The reason nobody wanted to draft Cam Chancellor high and nobody wanted to pay him early, we thought it was an overpay, is because he was great at tackling.
But they were
big
wrong,
the line
just
scrimmage.
Like you. The reason they didn't want to pay him is because he was hurt. That's what ended up happening. Howdy, stop. Question four.
Howdy, Vernon Davis wants to talk to you, as does Peyton Manning. Vernon's eyes got scrambled, and then the pick six that he picked off to
end over. Was his attributes covering people and being down.
Safeties don't have to cover people that often.
What are we talking about with Jamal Adams, then?
It's playing the position. It's tackling.
Of being a guy who tackles people from the safety position? What's your quibble here? Is it that Jamal Adams can't cover people, and Cam Chancellor
I'm on to question four.
Identify the quibble, Mike.
I'm on to question four. Keep your mouth shut over there. Brock, we've heard Shoddy's name come up here as a candidate in Texas. By the way, if somebody asks you if you want a job for the Texans in Houston, just say no. I don't want to work there. This place is just a mess. I don't want to be anywhere near this building. I don't want to be in the city. I don't want any part of this. Just say no. Bad sports town, bad organization, bad everything. Do not take your first head coaching job for the Houston Texans. Don't do it.
Facts. But they have Deshaun Watson.
I don't care. There's something broken there. There is a problem in that organization that you don't want to be a
part of. Well, they have the Patriots team chaplain running personnel.
Just
that's
awful. Just awful. Is Shoddy a viable candidate there?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he is. I think when they look at the success they have had there, who was one of the coaches they had success under? Gary Kubiak. And Gary Kubiak liked to run the ball. What does Shoddy like to do? He likes to run the ball. But more importantly with Shoddy, it's not just a one-dimensional, okay, well, Deshaun Watson, you can run the ball? No, I'm going to help create and develop Deshaun into being one of the best in the league, which if you look at Russell the last couple years under my tutelage and his growth and his development and, you know, all of his success, he's had a ton of it over his career, but he's been, you know, arguably at some of his best stretches with me as his coach. Yeah, I think he is viable. And I would also say, very importantly, in that case to you know, the disaster that has been Houston and the entirety of the organization, I think Shoddy could assemble a pretty good staff around him. I think people in the NFL would want to work for him. I think he's got enough background with enough different coaches through his years and the respect that that last name has in the league. And I think the respect that he's gained from a lot of different people, maybe not the most brilliant, but as a head coach, you don't need to be. You need to hire, you know, tremendous people around you. And we've seen Sean McVay do that. You know, that was one of the secret sauces with McVay down in the Rams, and nobody talks about it. Yes, he's a tremendous play caller and schemer and designer. You know what else he did? He was able to get Wade Phillips on the job. And then, you know, when he realized that Wade's probably not right for my personnel, I'm going to go hire Brandon Staley that nobody knew. Other than, you know, Sean McVay, who knew that, man, under Vic Fangio, this guy is bright. He's tremendous. He sees the game defensively the way I do offensively. He's a former quarterback that really relates to his people. And, you know, hiring that staff around you is critical. And I do think Shoddy, through his decades in this league, could put a pretty good staff around him.
Here you go. That is a four-question bonus of Blue 88 today, Brock. Oh, must be which is better music. Must be which is better time. We get some which is better. It's mostly an NFL edition. Actually, it might be entirely an NFL edition.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Which is better NFL edition?
Pac-12 North.
The what?
You don't have a which is better? The Huskies win the Pac-12 North, but don't get a chance to play in the.
Which is better, winning the Pac-12 North or getting to play in the Pac-12 Championship?
Yeah.
What? So we got a scenario where USC's the South champion.
Right.
UW's the North champion. But Oregon may be the conference champion. That's pretty weird.
That's almost as weird as the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Oh, he doesn't play for the Jets anymore.
In the organization? He's no longer there.
That's not fair, though. I mean, what are you going to do? They're turning over the organization. He was there at some point this year, right?
Okay, which is better?
Go ahead. Which is better? Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes, or John Elway in his prime? There's a lot of similarity there, huh?
There sure is, man. There sure is.
Both guys can sling it. Both guys can move around.
But Mahomes can win the big one. Elway couldn't until he was, like, geriatric.
It's true. But then he won two.
Nowhere near the supporting cast.
Yeah, three amigos.
And there was a big difference between the AFC and NFC.
Taking shots at Ricky Natil?
They were fine.
Clarence Kay? Sammy Winder?
Yeah, they were fine.
All right.
I'm talking in totality. Those teams did not stand a chance to the Niners and the people they had, the Goliath they had to face out of the NFC in that era where he continued to get them to the Super Bowl.
He did. He managed to win the AFC every year and then have to face either the Niners or the Cowboys. It was like those teams were...
I'm going to say Mahomes. I'm going to just give a little tip of the cap to Mahomes. It's really close. And the only difference is his ability to throw on the move. His ability to manipulate defenses, and Elway could do it from the pocket, then Elway could scramble, and yes, Elway could scramble, set his feet, and still launch it 85 yards. But Mahomes, some of the stuff he does, I've chatted with a lot of quarterbacks this year about it. I cannot believe how easy he makes the position look. It's kind of like Tiger Woods in golf. You know, he's just there's that stretch there where you're like, man, you are so much better. How is this possible? How do you make? They made a video game, Tiger Woods Golf, spinning the ball and doing all the things. Like, how is this even possible? And then, you know, you saw golf kind of raise its game, and you're seeing that a little bit at that position with others that are super, super creative. But man, there's just a slight edge.
Do you think Mahomes gets the edge because he gets to backpedal without actually backpedaling to start off? He doesn't do the straight backpedal that Elway did.
I know.
I mean, think about how much harder.
By the way, both were elite baseball prospects too.
Yeah, very true.
Yep.
All right. Which is better? Tuesday night football or Wednesday night football? What weird day is best for football?
I think Tuesday is better.
Because it's so weird.
Yeah, I like Tuesday a lot. Tuesdays are kind of a dead day. You know, you get back into work, but it's not even Monday, so you don't even have the newness of work. You got so much work ahead of you.
Right.
Yeah, you need that little extra... Oh!
But it is a little weird that just the night before you had Monday Night Football, so it's not like you've gone any time without football.
Monday Night Football is usually trash, so it's fine to watch a game on Tuesday.
Monday was the best game of the year.
This time was, but usually it's trash.
No, Monday Night's been better this year.
Those teams put up 80-something points. They just run the ball.
20 in the last minute and a half.
Did you guys watch that Wednesday afternoon Steelers-Ravens game?
No.
Mike could have, as we know, he has DirecTV.
I was working.
We didn't even get it on TV around.
Well, I do have DirecTV, but right now it means I can't watch Sunday night football.
Oh, you're dealing with the same thing.
I get the King 5.
You gotta get that low.
You don't do it in Spanish?
I guess I could. I don't care enough. So I don't.
But if the Seahawks were on, you're watching in Spanish?
I mean, if Seahawks are on, I'd find a way to do it. But I don't need to, like, you know, watch Pittsburgh.
How's that going with Clayton, by the way? I saw all that on Twitter. How's that going? Which is better, his battle with DirecTV or the battle with the goons at AT&T?
Well, they're the same. Who do you think owns DirecTV?
Oh, is that?
It's all AT&T, man. It's all one company.
Sorry.
Yeah. Which is better, Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield?
Where are we at on Josh Allen now, Salky? Where are we at? Because we would have done this podcast a year ago, rip job on Sam Darnold, you would have had the rip job on Josh Allen. He can't hit the broad side of the barn. He can't throw it.
Do you want a running back or do you want a quarterback? I'll take Baker. I'll take Baker. Not close.
Do you want the bigger, stronger, the guy with the closest comparable to arm to Mahomes in the league? That can throw it anytime, anywhere, and stretch the entirety of the field. And now that you've actually supported him with a cast of characters and one of the best receivers in the league,
I'll double down.
You see how I'm doubling
down.
They can be?
I'm doubling down. I don't buy it. Let's see him win a playoff game. When he wins a playoff game, then I will start to come around. For now, I'm not buying Josh Allen. Still, I think Baker's pretty good. By the way, Baker threw that ball like 77 yards at the end of the half Monday night.
Yeah, he's got a strong arm.
I know they didn't win that game, but it wasn't because of Baker. He played great. He's pretty fun to watch.
He's come around this year.
Does he have the best commercials in the league?
Brutal sophomore slump. He's come around.
Best commercials in the league?
Oh, yeah, by far. The Watt ones are close with the Watt family, the Subway Watt family commercials. Yeah. I like those ones.
I just like Baker.
Bakers are great.
Using
though.
The stadium as his house.
Forgetting all the stuff, going back to his car and having to go back through check every time. Keys. Wallet.
I like the one with the book club. He's throwing the woman out of the book club. Like, Baker's good. He's good at that. All right. Which is better, Wink Martindale or Matt Eberflus? You mentioned Pep Hamilton in there. I could throw him in too. Who's the guy who was like the coordinator in Detroit for a year or so?
Billy Bob Cooter.
That guy. Billy Bob Cooter. Is Matt Eberflus the best name of a coach ever?
Pretty good.
He is one of those names where I will just keep repeating it to myself in my head for hours. Matt Eberflus.
That's not normal.
Matt Eberflus.
No, that is
Eberflus.
Normal. I don't know any
other... you said you couldn't fall asleep till like 2 in the morning last night. It was probably because you were laying in bed. Matt Eberflus.
The last person who that happened to me with was this guy who used to play for the Buffalo Sabres. Maxime Afinogenov. Maxime Afinogenov.
You got to shake that, man. You got to come up with some process to get these words out of your head.
Matt Eberflus.
The Tuli Gassi.
No.
Tuli Casanova.
No, Eberflus is a clear winner for me. Much better than Wink Martindale.
Kyle and Howdy, do you guys have any other human you know that lays in his bed and would love to the name Matt Eberflus?
Matt Eberflus.
No, not anyone else I want to know.
Anytime he's the defense coordinator in Indy, right? Yes. Anytime they mention his name, I'm like, Matt Eberflus.
Here we go. We're getting down to it.
I mean, is it better than Whitney Merciless?
Yes. It's the best. It's my favorite. It might be my favorite NFL name ever. Matt Eberflus. All right. Which is better, the 2020 Jets or last year's LSU Tigers team? Jets.
The Jets.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Tigers had a better quarterback, though.
I don't know about that, boys. This is the first time that I watched an NFL listless team. No. I'm just talking about in that stadium.
Wrong.
On that day.
Had the LSU Tigers team. Okay, run out in the Seattle Dragons uniform.
Yep.
With Joe Burrow, Damian Lewis, Lloyd Cushenberry, Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Alaire, Jamar Chase, Grant Delpit, Patrick Queen, Kalavon Chaseon, like the 13 dudes drafted, plus the 13 dudes. Oh, and Joe Burrow, the number one pick, plus, you know, probably another 10 that are going to be drafted off of that team. Like,
I like the Coach Orgeron, Adam Gase matchup.
We know for sure the coach would have eaten way more.
That would show a lot of respect to Coach Adam
Gase. That would be the Joe Brady Dave Aranda matchup with his coordinators.
Right.
And his kicker, by the way, that wouldn't miss.
What about Danny Etling? Would he be involved in this?
That 16-0 LSU team had 13 dudes drafted last year.
Yeah, I'm still going to go with the Jets.
Plus a number of them, as I said, that would have been drafted, and that didn't include Stingley. They're incredible.
But all the guys
corner.
On the Jets team either got drafted or made an NFL team.
No.
Talking Frank Gore, Quinnen Williams, I mean, Sam Darnold, like, these guys.
Brian, I don't know.
Okay, hold on a second. I'll take it one last step further. Okay, because I've been, while you're laying in bed
There's somebody on this LSU team that didn't make it in the NFL, right?
While you're laying in bed thinking Matt Eberflus.
I am.
I'm laying in bed thinking, okay, 11 starters, the 22, the playground game. Let's just do the playground game. Which guy are you taking? Which are you taking to play a game? Are you taking Joe Burrow last year in the national title game, or are you taking Sam Darnold? Who are you taking? Am I taking, you know, their center, or am I taking Cushenberry, who starts for the Broncos? Am I taking their right guard, or am I taking Damian Lewis? Am I taking their tight end? Am I taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire or a dead Frank Gore? Am I taking Justin Jefferson, or am I taking Breshad Perriman? Am I taking Ja'Marr Chase, or am I taking Braxton Berrios? Seriously, out of 11 starters, I'm taking like 7 Tigers on offense.
That Braxton Berrios guy gets open.
And on defense, and by the way, I'm taking the coordinator from LSU. And then on defense, right. I think it's probably 6'5 Jets, but you're talking almost split. And then it's Joe Burrow with extreme confidence at that time. That team that's 16-0 with unbelievable confidence.
Dude, you're such a hot take guy. Now that you're going to get yourself in trouble with one of these NFL PR guys. You just wait. You're going to have to go do a Jets game, and they're going to be like, oh, Brock Heward, the guy who said that a college team could beat us. You're
changing
be careful,
the subject.
Man. You get yourself in trouble.
You're changing the subject.
I'm not.
I'm trying to help you.
I'm trying to help you.
Was that playground game more convincing than any time you've ever heard it before?
Yeah, but only because I don't know the people. But who are the people that don't make the list for LSU? That's always the thing, right? But there's a couple guys on that team who are just, they're not close. And you just pick on them the whole time. Now, whether or not Adam Gase can figure that out, who knows? Right.
Couple guys on the Jets in that same category, but
I'm just trying to help you, man. Yeah. I'm just trying to make sure you don't get in trouble.
Okay.
I don't need the Jets getting mad at you.
Okay, thanks. Next.
Get bullied out of New York.
Are you done?
I might be.
Okay.
See, Brock, you put this one on here and it's kind of mean. Jamal Adams' hands or Seattle's screen game. I mean, that's not fair.
Did I do that?
Yeah, that's mean.
That is mean.
Why would you put that one on there?
Eliminate that.
What's wrong with Jamal's hands? How come he can't catch?
Closes his eyes.
He's too excited.
He had that pick six last year against Tom Brady, right? Won me some money.
Mm. He's like me catching the snap on a field goal kick. I think he just has a twitch. Mm. Either that or he's got Edward Scissorhands.
Like he goes to catch the ball and he chops it.
He popped it. Oh, crap. I did it again.
Well, it's easier to catch once it's popped, right? Like it drapes.
Yeah, ask Tom Brady. He's all about that.
Oh.
Their screen game is so bad. They tried to run screens.
They did it early in the year. They had a couple.
They did.
Awful. How is he so bad? It's because he's short, right? Like, that's the biggest reason. He can't lob the ball correctly short distances. And he's way too short.
Maybe. Carson got his hands on one.
That's been my argument forever.
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
He threw one. I mean, the one he threw was a terrible throw.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
They're so off. Short, long, everywhere. There's not one thing he does wrong in the screen game. It's every single thing. Every time.
So you're saying,
why is Brady so good at screen? Like, Brady's always been a screen master.
How do you saying you have a quibble with it?
Yes, I have a quibble with that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Go do some.
Why is Brady so good? Because he runs a 5'6" 40 and he's 6'4".
Everyone salivates when they get the chance. Oh, there's no way he's getting away from me. Oh, I got him now.
No. There he just dumps it right over.
Yes.
Seahawks got caught in a screen. Bobby, oof. He was blitzing, though.
He was coming hard.
I think it was more Jordan Brooks. What is it Wyman always says? What does he call them? They're like blitzing geniuses or something when they get fooled. He's got a name for it. It's funny. I think it's blitzing genius or something like that. I think we're done. I think we're done.
I think that's
I'm
good.
Looking through the rest of these, and I think we're done.
Sure. I have no quibble with him.
Howdy's done. I can tell you that much. Howdy and I are going to have a separate podcast after this one where I just teach him his times tables. Howdy, what's 5 times 5?
25.
We're just going to go over the. It's sort of what happens at home. I mean, the schools don't do it, so somebody has to.
Take it upon yourself, Mike.
So, honestly, who is like more bothered by it, you or Heather?
Well, here's the thing. Like, Avery's in third grade. They're learning fractions, which is fine, but they haven't yet learned multiplication. Like, how do you go from Don't you have to learn multiple, like your multiplication tables before you can start learning fractions?
Yes.
Like, there's never any time for the just rote memory. That's what I don't understand about modern
math.
We're
going to get 15 years down the road and realize how bad we screwed up this change.
Right.
And then be in huge trouble.
Like, how do you function if you can't just do rote, simple memorization math?
How much more math do you need in your life other than decimals, fractions, multiplication, and division?
Not much.
Unless you're an engineer or a physicist, that's all you need.
Now, the other stuff teaches you how to think. I think there's a lot of value to learning all of
those
things.
Some statistics would be real helpful.
Algebraic equations, there's something to all that. But, like, if you can't do the memorization of up to your 12 tables, like, how do you do anything else?
Right.
Use that stuff all the time.
Can't even do a podcast.
You can't even do a podcast. Nope. And if you can't do that, you can't do anything. This is the bottom of the barrel of things people can do.
True that.
What do you have this week?
I got a good one. I got the Bears and Vikings, 6-7, 6-7.
I
total
love the
desperation.
Do you?
In Minnesota.
I love the Vikings.
Really?
I hate Zimmer, but I love the Vikings. Oh, man. That's a fun team.
He just breaks his kickers. That poor guy. There's not a kicker that can survive under his retina.
Those are two of the least fun teams to watch in the league. Those are two teams that come onto my screen. And I'm like, well, I'm not watching them.
Okay.
Especially the Bears. The moment the Bears are, I'm out. I didn't have a chance on that. See you, everybody. Have a great week. We will be back with another podcast next week. And until then, the hay.
Barn.
See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!